For this episode, I'm going to play you something that I recorded a year ago, December 27th, 2022, to be precise. I had just started filming videos for this podcast YouTube channel, and these videos are meant to give you a peek into my life and the role that motherhood and this podcast has in it. This is not the episode I promised last week. There's quite a bit to clear up with that, so instead, I'm bringing you an episode that I'd planned on releasing a little later in the month, but now that we're already into December, it feels timely. This is Mama Tills, a podcast on our collective motherhood journey. I'm your host, Sally Kuria. I shot this outside my in-laws' house in Nyahururu. We had just had lunch. Everyone broke off to go do their own thing, so I went outside to film. The clouds were super gray with little droplets coming down intermittently, and it was also very windy. So I had to do this quick before the rain poured. I felt compelled to talk about my experience as a daughter-in-law in my family, especially during this festive season, a time of the year where I find myself reflecting a lot on this.
Just confirm that things are recording.
Just a quick heads up on the audio about to hear. I am outside, so there is a lot of wind interference and just everyday life.
Happy holidays, everyone. We are away from home, and it's our last full day here.
So I'm going to hand it over to me from a year ago.
But yeah, it's our last full day here. It's about to rain, so I just thought I might as well do this part of the video here now while everyone is busy and engaged with everything else. We've been here for a week. I've been spending Christmas with my in-laws, something I've done for the last two Christmases. And I guess the thing is, it's a bit of a learning curve. But in a good way, in a good, interesting way. And I just wanted to share this because I know a lot of women get to this point where you're married and then you essentially start spending a lot more time with your husband's family as they become your family. And, you know, things change. I don't know if we give it as much attention as it needs, or we really think about it critically, even when you're going through it, but a lot of things change. And this Christmas in particular, I've had some time to think about it, and I'm going to just try and put it in words, even just for my own type of self-reflection, because I think we're getting to a turning point in some sort. So a little back story. I have been married for the last 3 years, but I've known my husband, or I've been dating him, since 2011. So that's more than 10 years now, or it's just 10 years or something of that sort, right? So over that time, I knew that this was a thing he does. During Christmas, they come home. And home is where they have been raised. They've been raised out of Nairobi, him and his brother. They have been born here and spent most of their life here, and only came to the city during university. So this is home, right? This is where they go home, which is very different for me, having been born and raised in the city. Coming outside of the city meant going to shags, right, to your rural home, which meant going to like grandparents and such for a lot of people. And it was the same for us for some time, and then it wasn't, because I really don't like the situation with the grandparents. Is a little bit complicated. On my dad's side, they're all late, and on my mom's side, it's just a whole other story. So just park that. So it was this concept of going home for Christmas wasn't really my concept of how to spend Christmas at all. So what we used to do is that we would, in the earlier part of December, with my mom and my auntie, that's her sister, her only sister, and the kids now, we would go to coast before the holiday rush comes through. So we'd do that. And then I can't really remember what we'd actually do on the 25th. I feel like either we just throw like a little get together in the house. I'm blanking. I really can't tell. Oh, we would find, we'd go out for lunch, or we'd go out some places, really. I think that's how we used to spend it. But this concept of coming home for Christmas was very, very new to me. So I remember when I like now officially met my in-laws before we got married, I was very, very anxious. Very, very anxious person, because this is a whole new family, right? It's different dynamics all through. Everything from the mom is very different, dad is different, there's a brother. I didn't grow up with a brother. So I remember feeling quite anxious about it. More so, and it happened quite early in our relationship, because we kind of knew that this thing was it. So after a couple of years, we were like, now we need to like start integrating slowly. So I remember feeling the urge of impressing, or being the right type of daughter, as opposed to this is my family now. Right, and I think it has been that way even leading up to like the wedding and everything. And the thing is, I have the sweetest mother-in-law. Like, I remember the first time I went over to their house, the house I used to stay in the city. I was so, I think I'll say anxious a lot in this video, but I was super anxious. But she had prepared the biggest spread of food that I'd ever seen. And she was so loving and warm. I left that afternoon feeling great. I remember it was also the second time I was meeting my husband's brother. And the first time he was a little bit cold. But the second time round, towards the end of lunch, he actually cracked a joke, like he played a trick on me. So that, I think that if anything about siblings, that's a very good way of showing that you all are in sync, or it's good, or it's accepted. So at least I felt that from him and from the mom as well. And for the dad, every time the mom was around, because the mom lives here and she would just come to the city ever so often. So every time she was around, we'd go have lunch, and if the dad was around, he'd pop in, say hi, and then disappear. So we never spent more than, I'll call it 5-10 minutes in the same room, which is quite interesting. But the thing is, you know, being that this was like set for life, I was like, eventually we will warm up to each other either way. But back to like the, now we're married, right? And I had to adapt their traditions and let go of mine. I mean, I know a lot of people struggle with that. But for me, it almost felt like I really had no other choice, no other option. Because like this Christmas, my sister is in another part of the country. And my mom is out of the country, and she's been living in the States for a while now. So it's like, so where do you go, sis? It's not even a question. It's like, you go where your family is, and my family is this one. And there's a part about integrating to a family that's a little bit different. But it does help if they're really great people. Like mine are. But I don't know why I thought it should be like an instantaneous thing. I thought, hey, you've known each other for a very long time, throughout the course of our dating lives. Now we're spending considerable amounts of time together. But there's like moving from that phase of not needing to always impress to this is your family that can see your flaws, I think that's a really big like a valley or a crater in between there. And it can be hard to communicate. It can be hard to communicate, even to acknowledge it yourself. So the very first one, because I knew it was coming, I just didn't know like how long it was going to be. Because it was, I think about it, I've never really spent that much time out of the city in a rural place. More than, 2 days at max. That was the max for me. And here we are spending like a week, right? And you start going through like little kinks here and there of... I remember the first very times I used to be very, very tidy. Anyone who knows me is, I'm not really the tidiest person on earth, but my mother-in-law is. And she doesn't say that you need to be super, super tidy, but I'm like, I can't be messy. That's not even it. It's like, it's been a long-standing tradition for them, but it's something that's very, very new to me. You find yourself... And this is like even away from Christmas. It's just like when you're spending time with your in-laws, you realize that this is a family that has been set together for a very long time. They've been together from the inception of the family, and you've been part of it for like 3 years. So there's jokes that you'll never understand. There's conversations that you can't really chime into. There's maybe goals and future things that they've talked about that you are not privy to, but you don't want to feel left out at the same time, right? So I remember for the longest time I used to just be like a fly on the wall, and then I moved to you talk about it, you chime in here and there, add a laughter here and there, like I get it. That time you're like, I probably understood half of that. And then there's a lot of, oh yeah, is that person that I met? And then they're like, no, you don't know who that person is. The number of times that has happened is a lot, right? So you immediately be like, you're like, okay, I have to realize that I'm learning these people. And then sometimes you're just like, what if I forget someone? Right? Will that be insensitive of me? Do I always have to put my best foot forward? You know? And then for me specifically, there's like a language thing. Because they grew up here, they largely together as a family speak Kikuyu. Having grown up in the city, in a very multicultural estate, Kikuyu wasn't really a thing, because I lived in Eastlands where fences were bata ruma, so all of us would come together but not necessarily in tribal lines. So I didn't really catch Kikuyu. I can hear it, but I can't really speak it. Now when everyone is speaking the same language and you want to chime into the conversation, you want to be able to flawlessly do it, even if you're doing it in English or Swahili, but not make them feel like they need to change their own language, which is what happens all the time. And I would feel very, very guilty about it. Like, I didn't ruin the flow of the story or have to force you to speak something different just because I can't. You know, and then you start wondering, like, couldn't Morothi have made a better choice in a wife? Someone who can speak the language. But they've been very accommodative about it. And it's not that I can't speak it, I just can't speak it as well as it probably should be. Is everyone fine?
Yeah, okay.
And the screamer?
So, meet you.
Bring her, it's fine. My daughter is screaming. Hopefully I'll be able to finish this. If not, I don't know. I'll try.
On that note, let's take a little break. And during this break, I want to play you a clip from Gatueri Irauka, founder of Leo Tunapika, an awesome food content creator on Instagram, on her experience of spending the holidays with relatives and some tips for traveling with young kids.
Hi, I'm Gatueri Irauka, founder Leo Tunapika, food content creator and baker. I have 3 children, 2 girls and 1 boy. The girls are 8.5 and 7 years, and the boy is almost 5 years old. In the few occasions we've spent holiday with the relatives, it's been amazing because the kids get to hang out with their cousins, their aunties and uncles, their grandparents. So it's always a lovely time. Great memories are created, and it's just very splendid. And the fact that we are many adults, so there are many people to give a hand when taking care of the children. The only thing I don't like about it is that since it's a different environment, a different experience, sometimes some rules are lax a bit. For example, like I practice limited screen time in my home, but now when we go on holiday, sometimes that gets hard to enforce when you're in a different location. What tips do I have regarding traveling long distance with children? What I can say is that build your travel along the children's routine. So for example, we had to travel to Uganda sometime last year, and since we were using public transport, we opted to travel at night when the children will mostly be asleep. So it's very easy to take care of a child when they are asleep and they won't fuss and worry much. So that's one tip. The other tip is if you're doing self-drive, just get ready to put many pauses during the trip, maybe toilet breaks, pit stops to take photos so that children can even stretch and just have a relaxed time.
Welcome back. In this episode, we're all about traveling and spending time with family this festive season. And for me, it means spending time with my in-laws. Last year, I took some time to reflect on this relationship through a video I was filming but never released. So I'm playing the audio from that video. When we went on break, my daughter and husband were just about to join me.
Come, girl. Come, run. Run. Okay. Hi, Mama.
Hi. Hi, guys. Can you see us?
Are we still live?
Yes.
There, Manguka.
What is afternoon? Nini meanguka? Yeah, crisis averted. I even lost my thoughts. Yeah. Anyway, I think to cut the long story short, I might write all this down in a more comprehensible way in an article or newsletter. I'm not sure which one I will share it on. But I just wanted to say that it's been a long road for me to move from trying to impress or trying to fit in to just being okay with who I am in this family, in their traditions, and to embracing them as mine.
So the wind really picked up at this point, but what I was saying is that I think the relationship that took a long time to develop was with my father-in-law. Especially since, you know, I felt the need to call him dad, and that's something I hadn't said since 2015 when my father passed away. So yeah, it did take, because I was like, I wouldn't call him Mr. So-and-so, you know what I mean? So it was just like, you know, it was odd, but it eventually got there. I also talked about the fact that we were more comfortable spending a lot more time together as opposed to the 5-10 minutes that was happening before. And it wasn't super awkward, or it still isn't super awkward to be left alone in a room with him, because you find yourself that you can talk about stuff. And the relationship has been also deepening with my mother-in-law, which is great. She, like I said, she's the sweetest person on earth. But it doesn't come without its frictions, especially when it came to the kids.
You know, when it's just me, am I to the son? That's very different to the kids who are their grandkids, right? So I remember with Keo, there was a lot of questions or advice on like how I should do what I'm doing. Despite the fact that I'm very stubborn about what I do and how I do it. So I remember there were moments where I would get pretty mad, but I wasn't able to either speak up for myself or share it with them. I would go through my husband. And I think one of the things that have made this transition very manageable for me is my husband, because he, and I know it's not the same for a lot of people, where, you know, there's a thing in marriage called leaving and cleaving, I think that's what it was called, where your husband's priority moves from his parents to you, right? And he's your advocate, and he's, because that's his family now. And it doesn't look like I'm attacking his family. See what I mean? So it helps that he embraced the idea that he needs to advocate for me.
The wind struck again. But the idea is that since this is his family, the people he's grown up with, he knows what's best to say, how best to say it. So it was good to go through him as an intermediary.
You know, you're not born into it, you're married into it. And you're married when you're old, so like a child who can be adopted by you. But it's a very conscious effort, right? So it's great that he is able to see that and be like this intermediary of even helping me understand them, right? So that has been something that has helped me so much, so to the point where I'm actually now getting to a point where I'm sharing my own voice, my own opinion. It's okay for me to not smile all the time because I'm not that kind of, I wake up quite moody just naturally. That's just who I am. And before I used to have to feel like the need to like look like everything is fine and rosy. But now I'm just like, it's fine. You can see me sulk. I'm not mad. It's just me. I can be a little, well, I still try to be a slightly a tidier than I am in my own home. But I don't feel that pressure anymore. And one of the last couple of nights ago, we went through another breakthrough where it was just me and them. And we didn't talk about the kids, or my husband, or my family. We just talked about me and what I do. You know, that hadn't happened. I remember even told them, I was actually waiting for you to ask. Because it's never, it never really happened. I remember I used to be very slighted with those things, because not even just them, but even like their extended family. I haven't even talked about how like the extended family on both sides of my husband's family, like are very, very close. It's like a huge hug, and I come from a place where that's not the case. So for me, it's just like, why is everyone up in everyone else's business? That's that just is not the reality for me. I didn't grow up in that type of setting. So this was a whole other, it's still a whole other thing for me to get used to. So you see, like, since they know so much about each other, it's very easy for them to keep up. Like, hey, how's your law firm going along? Or how's this going along? Or how's this? Right? But since I'm new, I realize not a lot of them know what's happening in my life, or even know how to ask, right? And it would hurt me a little bit, because, you know, I'm there with my husband and the brother, and they ask them, right? And then if it comes to me, it's either nothing or how are the kids, you know? So when you finally have the valuable to me and what I do. And I could finally see them click, right? And being who I am, I just really have this right in them. Like, thank you so much for asking. I never thought you would. I also have to realize it's also for them, it's something new. It's like they now have a daughter that they didn't have, who is a very important part of their son's life, who has brought them grandchildren, who are very, very precious parts of their life, but who's a different person that they didn't raise me, they don't know me. It's like a learning curve all through, you know? And even now I'm getting to appreciate that part of them. So I'm calling this Christmas a turning point, because for the first time ever, I haven't felt the need to rush to go back home. We're going back home tomorrow, but I haven't felt that need to rush, right? Because they've also, and I think the thing that would bring a lot of problems, like kids and how I raise my kids, but they've seen how it works with Kero. I've also become an advocate for Kero because she's at that stage where it's only probably the parents who understand her, not just speech, but just how she behaves and how she does this. So I've become that advocate. I have really learned to be comfortable. I think that's the thing, just be comfortable. That it's okay for my flaws to be seen, that I don't have to impress all the time, that I can share my opinions, my thoughts, that I can do this outside the house and they're not like, what's happening out there? Because that's just me. And I'm really looking forward to like how this relationship grows. I've realized it's not an automatic thing. You just don't wake up, get married, and then, oh, happy family. It takes its time. It takes its moment. And I also have to find a way of not neglecting my own family. That's my sister and my mom. And especially now that we're so far away from each other. I'm not the very best at getting close to people. That's just not my thing. But even if it's family, like I'm not, it's just not me. It's something I'm actually working on. Like I haven't been to my home, like now, my rural home rather, my family's home, where my dad is buried, since, and I say it's been a year. It's been a year and we only passed by as we were coming here for Christmas last year. So yeah, I don't even think it was Christmas. I think it was like October. It was actually October 2021. So there's a lot of dynamics that I have to think about. I don't like thinking about these things, but I do. And not just expect them to just happen naturally and go with the flow as much as I can, but also take initiative as much as I can. And for all the daughters-in-laws who haven't gone into families that they feel that they can get comfortable in, I hope you get to a point where you can actually voice these things. If not with your parents-in-law, with your husband. And it just gets better. Right? Especially if you love a man, you love his family too, right? So he comes, it's a package. So just go with it. Anyway, I think it's time to go. Rush back inside the house, wake up the tiny one, run away from this cold, and enjoy the last parts of our holiday here. But yeah.
This year, like every other year since I got married, we are gonna visit our parents. I caught myself calling it home just the other day, and I must say, I feel truly happy that that's where I'm at right now. I hope that you are able to hear everything in this episode. I really didn't want to mess up the audio too much because I'm not an audio engineer, and I just wanted to leave it as authentic as possible. I want to send a special thanks to Gatweri for lending her voice and experience for us for this episode. If you're looking for recipe inspiration, I would highly, highly recommend checking out her Instagram page, Leotunapika. I will link it in the show notes of this episode. If you would like to contribute in any way to the podcast, please join the community. You can find details on that on the website. That's mamatillspodcast.com, and also on our socials, so that you'll be the first to know if there's any special project coming up. Have you read the latest issue of the newsletter? In it, I shared the one thing that I absolutely have no business wanting to teach my child, and that's my relationship with pain and discomfort. You can find a link to it in the show notes of this episode or on our website, mamatillspodcast.com. Before I go, let me remind you to consider donating to the show. Your contribution goes a long, long way in helping me get these episodes to you for free every single week. Any amount would be greatly appreciated. Think about it like buying me an iced tower from Java to drink as I edit these episodes. I really love those, especially now that it looks like the sun is coming back. Next week, we will get into a different family dynamic, and that's co-parenting. And in it, we'll try and see how best to approach co-parenting, especially during this holiday season. See you then. Bye.